to the HexPod podcast dedicated to arcane League of Legends, where we're going to go week by week, episode by episode, to go into all the details and the fun of this television show. My name is Nick.
I'm Michelle.
Well, the reason we're doing this podcast is, for one, we've actually, me and Michelle have actually already watched this. We're going to be doing a rewatch to give the full review of what we think and kind of just break everything down. I was going to commute to work every day trying to find, when we were watching this show 2 weeks ago, I was trying to listen to find podcasts on this, and I was finding kind of like the full reviews, the hour long, kind of talking about the whole season, but I didn't find any actually podcast breaking down episode by episode. So that's why we decided to make this. I, someone who's had a little League of Legends experience, I used to play, but I kind of quit about 4 or 5 years ago. But I am pretty familiar with the game. Michelle?
I am a League of Legends virgin. One of those people, I did not even know that it existed.
Right.
But yeah, I was interested in doing this because honestly, I wanted to learn more about it. As soon as I watched the shows, I was intrigued. I was drawn in. So I figured by doing this, I've been doing a bunch of research and learning more about the characters and how this all got started. And
there it is. That's right. So, and like, as we were watching it, I was just like everyone else has been watching the show, is completely blown away by the animation. You know, the animation team is based out of France.
The Forti. See, I said it right before. Forti Productions.
Yeah, which was like a small independent company. The two guys that made the show, which is Christian Link and Alex Yi. And as far as I understand, this is the first thing they've ever done. But they've worked at Riot they've been trying to work on the show for like 6 years or something for a really long time. And they finally kind of got off the ground. And that particular production company, we've come to find out, they're the ones that directed that Jinx music video.
They get jinxed. And yeah. Yep. They saw that, Christian and Alex, they saw that. And that's kind of what prompted them. We could maybe make something and get more in depth with these characters. And
they fucking knocked it out of the park. Yeah. So good on them. Good, great find on Alex's part and on Christian's part. So, and the music on top of that, which I was like, I'm very unfamiliar with. This isn't definitely not my cup of tea as far as music, but this show, the music works just top to bottom on every scene that comes on. Even the intro song, which I didn't even know who they were, but you knew the band.
Yeah, Imagination Dragons. And they made this song for the show. They showed them like little clips of the show and to show them, and they actually turned out that I guess they were huge fans of League of Legends, so they were on board right away.
Right.
So, but then like throughout, like I say, even this episode, but later on to like more I don't say poppy songs, but more like artists jumped on board to do songs for this too. So,
in which, you know, in music is, it's for every show, it's so important. Like, you know, it's the blood, the lifeblood of every show. If it sucks, man, it can just totally just take you out of the moment or bring you in the moment, vice versa. And music here, 10 out of 10. I think the following day when we finished the show, I put the entire playlist on my phone. So yeah. I've been listening and going to work every day.
There's lots of different playlists that I've been enjoying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So this first episode, Welcome to the Playground. We're going to go ahead and review it. And yeah, we had introductions to a lot of different characters. A lot of the main characters come into this. Not every single one, but a lot of them do come into the front. So let's go and get right into it. The episode begins with Vi and Powder walking through, looks like the bridge that connects Piltover and Zaun. And it's clearly a battle's happened. Everything's on fire. There's enforcers walking around. There's a lot of dead people. And as they're walking through, there's Vander basically just beating somebody up, gazing at them, and they come to find out the Powder and Vi's parents are dead.
I didn't notice, but right away they kind of show like the dynamic of Vi and Powder, because, you know, Vi is leading her through the rubbish and she's making Powder have her eyes closed.
Oh,
so right,
sure.
There, it kind of shows like kind of like they're that, you know, Vi is a protector or whatever.
Yeah. And that clearly is shown throughout the episode. Like, man, they do such a damn good job setting this stuff up in such subtle ways. So when things happen, they all completely make sense. And you don't even think twice about when these things happen, when there's fights and there's, I don't know. is throughout the show. So yeah, you're exactly right. That it's a great way to kind of show the sisterly love that they have right out the gate. Like I was telling you earlier, when we first watched this show, it looked like Vander was beating the shit out of their mom. And I was like, why is he doing that? But then I realized it's somebody completely different. But anyways, so as they leave, there's a time jump. In this, well, we should also say this is how Vander, Vi, and Powder kind of make their acquaintance, and kind of how you see Vander take them under their wing.
And it shows like the conflict between the two cities, I think.
The two worlds.
Because I think there's like a battle going on. Obviously, I think it's been going on for a while because like the bridge is already there.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a conflict between Zahn and Piltover, right?
And there's also like I think a dynamic there between Xander and the girls, the sisters, because at that moment he throws down his iron fists and he kind of like takes them under his wing. But I think that kind of reflects in the how it kind of changed him as a person from then to the time jump too.
Yeah, right. Because he's very kind of like in this episode, he's very hesitant about conflict from here on out.
Yeah.
He's always kind of like, man, like the unless if our backs are against the wall, like we avoid conflict at all costs. And this, you're right. And this kind of this 30 seconds sets all that up. And it, there's literally nothing, no words said. And you get everything from the scene. So great introduction to three of our main characters. Then we go to a time jump, which they're a little bit older. It's probably about
10 years, 8 or 10 years.
Ah, that long? Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. It doesn't, they're kind of, they don't really say per se how long these time jumps are, but you can kind of get the idea, which is fine. I mean, it's just show, not tell, basically, is what they're doing. Yeah. And that's, I wish more shows would do that. But yeah, so we get the four main kids, which is Vi, Powder, Klager, and Milo. We get them in Piltover on a heist in Piltover because Vi and Powder got a tip that one of these houses has some type of valuable goods inside. So they're going to make a heist inside this home. They make their way into the house. Powder finds some blue gems. As they find the blue gems, someone's trying to break into the room. They need to escape. The blue gem drops and the room explodes. So a lot happens right there. You get the sense that, let's start with Vi. Seems to be the leader of this group, these kids.
Leader of the group. And then you can kind of show the dynamic that, like, Vi's at the top and Powder's kind of at the bottom. Her other friends, Milo and Klager, they kind of tease Powder. They kind of don't want her around.
Yep, mostly Milo. Mostly Milo. That's what I have in my notes.
And, like, even when they're in the room, they're obviously kind of showing that they're, like, kind of showing that's what they do. They scavenge.
Yep.
I'm assuming they're some kind of traitors. They kind of picking on Powder, but. So then it kind of shows the Powder kind of goes off on her own, like to get away from them to kind of do. And then that's where she discovers, well, first she discovers the sandwich.
Yeah, you noticed that. I was like, what are you talking about? I saw sandwich, some donuts or some cupcakes. But.
And then a blueprint and then a chest that opens up and she sees the little gems, glowing gems.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I was telling you earlier. The scene also says a lot because as they're looking, Powder clearly knows what to look for. As though she's the smallest, she seems to be the smartest when it comes to as far as like technology and just trinkets and just anything that would be useful to the group and what they could sell. Milo, on the other hand, is picking fucking nose clippers and like trying to take them. And Vi's like, yeah, dude, what are you doing here? And so it kind of shows that even Powder, as small as she is kind of the... And at least in this area, seems to be the smartest out of the group of what to look for.
I think Vi kind of sees that in her too.
Yeah, exactly. There's Milo looks at almost like just a physical, are you physically fit to do the job? And Vi sees, are you in the intelligence in Powder? Then, like basically the potential in Powder, what she can be. And it definitely shows that in this scene, kind of like the crumbs of where that's going to be led to. So, yeah, then the blue gem, I mean, there's something else I was going to say with this scene.
Let's just say somebody comes into the door, trying to get into the door.
Yeah, someone tries to get into
the door. Their heist is interrupted.
Yeah, their heist is interrupted. But what I also was going to say is that also this shows kind of like the class difference in between the kids and where they're at. Piltover is like more like the capital city, kind of like the upper, the rich, fancy area. And these kids are from Zahn, the underground, which is definitely a much lower class. This show says so much about classes, politics about where you live, what you have to do to survive. And that's kind of where these kids are not really supposed to be here. Even if they weren't robbing this place, they're generally not supposed to be in here. Like, it's just kind of, the Lower West Side kids going to the Upper East Side. You know, it's just kind of on the wrong side of the train tracks type of thing. And that's what they're showing. But yeah, as they're getting interrupted, Powder takes the blue gems, drops one. And we don't really know what these blue gems are. We will find out. It's the Hextech power gems thing. These gems are a little bit different than what
they end up being.
Yeah, they end up being. But yeah, they take one, they drop one, and it explodes, and they have to make him run from the enforcers. And this is kind of where we get the introduction to the enforcers, which are like the police of the Piltover. So.
Yeah, I would say I liked in the show, and like I said, in this episode, they kind of, because at first I was like, I didn't know what Piltover or Zahn was, and they kind of made like references to Piltover as the top city or top side, and Zahn to Undercity, and I think they kind of do that for maybe people who don't know League of Legends and that kinds of things, like you just maybe. Know. I liked on that part because they're kind of like making it for both. Audiences.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then they seem to be different terms, which we would have, like, even in real life, places have different terms. Like, we have, there's different, like, the city we live in, like, there's, like, the East Village, which isn't, this is what people call it on that one part of town. There's like, different, like, sub-versions of different areas. So, yeah. And as they make their way from the enforcers, they're running. Clearly, it looks like these kids have done this before, like, as far as something, because, I mean, they're zipping through the city, no problem. Using everything they can to stop the enforcers from getting them.
Parkour skills.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also what you find out, which is something to remember, is you find out Milo is a lockpicker. He doesn't really get the chance to do it, but they do mention it. And he starts to, when he's trying to get into the apartment to break into this apartment, he starts to lockpick and Vi just kicks the door in. But it is an introduction. It does show you that is something that Milo does know how to do. Let's see. So as they make their way down, they do go down a sewer?
I think it's just a garbage chute.
Yeah,
a bunch of garbage.
A garbage chute to go back down to Zahn, the underground. As they make their way down there, they do meet a gang who's down there to jump and basically kind of steal whatever they got. And they seem to be waiting there for them, too.
And they did name one of the thugs, they're like kid thugs, but his name is Decker. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I'm always just assuming if they name somebody that's something
probably important
yeah, or right. like related to the game or something. But yeah, so I put down Decker and his thugs.
Yeah, I don't think maybe he's in the game. I don't know. I don't think so. But as they jump down, they do get jumped. Vi basically just starts beating the shit out of these kids. And as they're fighting. One of the thugs does see Powder, and Powder runs, ends up dropping the bag of gems into the river. And, but we do see as she drops the gems, she does pull out one of her, like, her little grenade things.
Her mousy.
And she throws it. Doesn't really work. But we do see the grains of where this is going to go. She's clearly trying to tinker to make, like, these bomb things. And, yeah, and it just kind of just shows that she's real into engineering.
Vi is a power puncher.
Yep, she does. She is a boxer. She beating the shit out of boys. No problemo. But as they get away, then they find out that, was there anything else to say about that scene, really?
I mean, they kind of showed, like I said, the same dynamic. Powder, she's kind of hiding in the corner with the loot. Like, that's her job, just protect the loot. But she's not really one to get in and bit scrappy.
Yeah, because I think Vi just threw her the bag, didn't she? Or one of them did had the bag and just threw it to her. And then as the three of them just started fighting. So, I don't know. There's never really not a lot to say other than they just badass brawl. So, I mean. But as they make their way down, they do after they get done, they beat up the kids, the thugs, and they get away. They come to find out that Powder did drop the bag into the river, and this is the first time Milo uses the word jinx on Powder, which comes to be important. It's a small hint, but I did notice it, and I know if you're not a League of Legends fan, you're probably not going to notice it or know nothing about the TV show, but it is kind of important though. Now when they get to the underground, when they get to Zahn. This is basically introduction to Zahn.
Yeah.
I mean, they're walking through, and you can kind of see this is very multicultural, multi, it's a full living, breathing city down there. And it's there's a lot going on. I mean, you see everything from, like, I don't say prostitution, but there's probably. Yeah, whatever.
It seems like there's a lot of trading.
Yep.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking. You know, I'm sure these people are up, a lot of people are up to no good down there. And it's
exactly
kind of
what you'd think an undercity would look like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they make their, and there's a walkthrough, and it's kind of giving you the idea of what, where these kids are from, and where they live, and where they spend most of their time. And kind of like the, I don't say rough, rough upbringing. I mean, you'd have to have a rough upbringing to survive this place.
Right. You'd have to have a rough attitude and.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, they make their way into the bar, and this is where we see Vander again. And you see the kids meet up with Vander. And that bar is that the bar is called The Last Drop.
Last Drop.
The Last Drop. Yep. They make their way into there, but you get an introduction of Vander and kind of where he sits at into the underground. Because as there's a kind of a trade deal going on with the, like this glassy nerdy guy and these two kind of like thug looking dudes. One's a girl and one's a man.
So all the girls are tough down there too.
Yeah, and they're clearly trying to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they're trying to shortchange this guy who they made a deal with. They don't really say exactly what the deal was, but some type of trade.
Some kind of trade. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to shortchange him. And then Vander just comes over and like, it's like you better pay him, otherwise you're gonna deal with my entire bar. Right. And they end up paying him, and you kind of get the idea that Vander is he's the fucking man down there, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't want to use the word leader, but they definitely look up to him as I don't say what's right and wrong, because they clearly down there do not really know, they only know what's kind of wrong and what's sort of the wrong versus the wrongest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's always shady shit going on down there, but he's
definitely one that they don't want to cross.
Yeah. He's leading the way, and he's kind of it seems to be he's the one that's kind of holding everything together without everything going into straight chaos. So, but as they walk in, the kids walk through the bar to go to their house, and Vander sees them and walks back and starts talking to them to find out what's going on. The kids clearly do not want to tell Vander what happened, but Vander kind of gets to him and finds out Vander already knows, but that they made a heist in Piltover that went wrong. And then there's clearly a very strong dynamic between Vander and Vi as... Basically, Vander just tells her, like, you're the leader. These kids look up to you. Whatever happens to them, it's going to be your fault. And the same thing with your entire group. Whatever happens to you guys, it's my fault. And I
feel like he's saying that speech from as, like, I'm an example of that, too.
Yeah, but yeah, much larger example. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, kind of explains his dynamic, like, people look up to him, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Vander's clearly like he knows this is totally like just a naive thing. You know, we were all young once. We wanted to live adventures. Basically, I mean, it's just as being a kid, and these kids, you know, they think they can pull these moves. They think they can steal things. And Vander, it's kind of like the same shit when we try to tell our kids something. You know, they want to play by the street or something. We're like, no, don't play by the street. Play in the yard.
And they're invincible.
Yeah, they don't think, like, nothing will happen to us. And we know one little move, you trip, fall on that street, and a car hits. Yeah, basically, and he's kind of like the same way with these kids, is that he knows what can go wrong very easily, very fast, and especially in this underworld or in Piltover with dealing with the enforcers. And that's what he says. The enforcers come down here, you know, we're in deep trouble. So he's trying to explain it to her. But there is obviously a strong bond between Vi and Vander. So, yeah.
Shows the father figure in it.
Yeah, it does. And the other kids are clearly, they're not scared of him, but they're definitely not going to talk. Because as soon as, she said, aren't you tired of living in someone else's shadow? And the kids all looked like, uh-oh. like, what are you... You're going to piss off Daddy Vander here. So, I mean, I don't know. But so, so Vander grabs Klager, and they make their way over to a resale shop? It's Bender and
like
Echo.
Like a pawn. I don't know if it's a pawn shop because I don't know if they give out money for stuff. But yeah, I guess like they're sell more of the, I want to say like the high end junk.
Yeah. They make their way over to Bender, and you get an introduction to Bender, which seems to be one of Vander's old friends, and Echo, which is a, like Bender's kind of like not an apprentice, but like maybe he's like shop help or something. He's like just, he's a little kid too. He's got to be 8 or 9 or something. And you come to find out, Bender and Vander are friends. They're talking about, just kind of basically talking about what happened and that Vander needs to be careful. And then the two officers show up, Marcus and Grayson, which Grayson and Vander have a relationship, a kind of like a business back end relationship that no one really knows about, but it kind of helps keep the peace between the two cities. So, yeah.
And around that time too, we kind of find out that, because at first I was confused on, like, you know, at the beginning why they went to that apartment, but Echo's the one who tipped them off to that person has interesting things in their apartment because
that
person came down to Zond, the Undercity, and paid in gold. So Echo felt the need to follow him home.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So
that's right.
That's how he knew we were lived.
Echo, that little weaselly little man. So, yeah, then you kind of get an introduction to Marcus, which who seems to be kind of more of a hothead. He wants to be, he's kind of like, wants to be the law of the land, the tough guy. And Grayson's kind of like, shut up and let the grownups talk.
Right.
And, and you get Vander and Grayson obviously clearly have a relationship, you know, basically a back deal no one knows about, but it's very important because it keems the peace between the enforcers of Piltover and down in the underground of Zond. So,
and the enforcers are there because they want a name.
Yep.
For whoever caused the
explosion
and the trouble in Piltover. But of course, Xander doesn't want to because that's his kids.
Vander.
Van.
Not Xander, Vander.
That's what I said, Vander.
Okay.
So she gives him a little container. So it's kind of crazy because like the world that they live in, because mm-hmm. like I said, it's all new to me. Mm-hmm. They're still like carrier tubes.
Oh yeah,
to
right.
Communicate with each other.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she
yeah.
has her own. Grayson has her own special tube. So mm-hmm. she said, if you ever want to tell me anything, just give this tube.
FedEx it to me. So then we move over to Vi and Milo are kind of having this conversation about Powder, and kind of Powder kind of hears what, like, half of it, and before Vi starts defending her, she kind of walks away and doesn't hear the part where Vi's actually defending her. Like, you know, Vi might be kind of might not get everything done, but Milo, you're a fucking asshole is basically what she's right. saying. Like, you need to stop because you're causing more problems than solving problems. And but Powder doesn't hear all that.
She hears all the negative.
Hear all the negative and walks away. You know, it's kind of like a, I don't want to say cliche, but it's a little tropey they use in TV shows where people only know half the conversation. But then again, it happens in real life, I suppose, too.
Yeah. Sometimes people, like, will hear the whole conversation, but they'll only focus on the bad part too.
Yeah, hear what they want. Right. Yeah. Hear 1,000 compliments, one negative thing. That one negative thing will kind of overwhelm you. And, you know, and Powder's just a little kid. So, you know, when, fuck, man, as a little kid and you're hearing these things about you, especially your sister saying about you,
yeah,
it's soul crushing. She actually takes it. I mean, for a little kid, she takes it pretty decently, but she kind of holds her own a little bit. But I mean, there's only so much a fucking 8-year-old can take.
Yeah.
You know, so, but. Yeah, you just kind of come to find out Milo's kind of an asshole to her a little bit, to Powder, and Vi's just like, you need to stop, man. Like, it's not solving anything. And
And also, I think, like, right before that or right after that, because so the reason why Powder hears him is because she's scavenging for stuff for her little bombs.
Yeah.
And then, but then she reaches down in her pocket and she still has the blue gems.
Yep. So was it just one or did she have a bunch of them?
We only saw one.
Yeah, right. I thought we only saw one too. Yeah. Yeah. So you see that she has the gems and you see Powder working on her bombs. And this kind of gives you, again, this kind of just shows you this is something that Powder is very interested in, her bomb making. And it kind of plays into future events. But you know, she's always tinkering with things and she's definitely very intellectually curious, which is probably why she knew what to look for when she went inside that house in the beginning. And Milo didn't really. I don't really get, well, I guess we all had that dumbass friend who kind of thought he was hot shit and he was not. Like, nah, but no one really wanted to say anything. You're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, he's all right when he's off his high horse, whenever that is. Yeah. But we do see Powder and Vi do have this. Vi brings
sister
Powder.
Sister moment.
Yeah, sister moment, which is good because it kind of just reinforces. Vi's just kind of telling her these stories about we did this, that, remember that other time we did that, and it was over there, and just kind of like comforting her sister, just kind of telling her these funny stories about these guys.
About actually about like her friends who were doing things that they thought were cool, but ended up being stupid.
Yeah, exactly. like these guys, you know, messed up too, all quite a bit. So yeah. And it kind
of, she also says like a point of where Cymbolis took her toy and threw it up there. I think that was kind of a moment where she kind of decided, it's kind of like, to me, like a moment like where she decided to be tough.
Yeah. Right.
Like in her own life. And then she says the line, we will have bad days, but we will learn and stick together.
Mm. Yeah, they will. They certainly will. Yeah. Cause it kind of just closes off with Vi looking over at Piltover and basically just saying, we're going to rise above the challenges that we have, you know, in front of us. So I don't know, finishes strong, starts strong. This whole episode basically is just kind of setting the stage.
We meet somebody else in this episode though, too. They show the whole scene with, that's what I said. I don't know if it, like I said, I don't know if his name was important with that, but, kind of show Decker again.
Yeah. And Silco.
His little mad scientist that he has with him too. And
I'm skipping scenes here. Yeah, we do get the introduction of Silco. They do have one of the thug kids down into it's Silco's like lair, I guess, whatever it is, lab room.
And Silco apparently ordered Decker and his buddies to follow the kids around too.
Yep.
And cause this little drama.
Right. Yeah. They follow the kids and basically Silco, you just kind of get like, he's kind of like the underlord boss man, just doing experiments on rats with the purple stuff, the shimmer. You know what's called, shimmer?
Yeah.
Yeah. With the shimmer, they don't say the name yet, but that's what it's called. It's called shimmer. The purple goo, and it makes the rat kind of turn into a Hulk and kill a cat.
That's what I thought it too. It's like a Hulk mouse.
Purple Hulk. Yeah. And basically, that's all it really says. It just kind of shows them, and just shows Silco's the one in charge, and he has kind of like he has enforcers, and he has like a mad scientist guy working for him. So, and there's a lot more to come with that. That's not the start of it. So, yeah. What else we got to say about this episode?
So, just kind of a little introductory of basically mostly just Zahn and the Undercity a little bit, and how.
Yeah. So. Yeah, gets the ball kicked down the road. Kind of setting the premise of the story with that building exploding, and kind of the introduction to the blue gems and the four main characters. Well, I guess five with Vander and Silco. Well, six. I mean, there's a lot of characters in this show, but they all have perfect screen time. Like as far as like there's no excess waste. Everyone just says everything that's being said on screen is moving the plot forward.
Yeah, I feel like everything's building on top of each other. Like when you first started to watch it, like you don't, like I almost think you have to watch it twice too a little bit because like the season, because everything just kind of builds up on top of each other. And things, when you go back, they make sense later.
Yeah, right. Because this second rewatch, it was like since now I know the characters, I can kind of watch for things that are actually happening more on screen, kind of paying attention to little fine details of what's going on. And, you know, like for example, like the Milo lockpicking thing. Now I know he's a lockpicker because that kind of plays a little bit more into the future here. And the small little details like that. And second rewatch of the first episode, just as good. I didn't find myself bored at all. It's scooting right along, a quick 45 minutes. And great episode. 10 out of 10. What do you think?
10 out of 10, yep.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and keep going with this podcast. We're going to release an episode a week. And you can write in. We do have a email, which is going to be arcanepod@gmail.com. You can find me at Flying the Donut. It's kind of a funny name, but that is my name on my social medias. And you can find Michelle at
Michelle A. Ortel.
Yep. So we'll have that in the description, but if you have any comments, please write in, and we want to further the discussion because, you know, when the episodes continue, we are going to try to have feedback and further discussion with people that listen. Please get those emails in. If you have anything to add to the show, we would like to add to the discussion. We would really appreciate that. So until next week, we will conquer the second episode and with Arcane. Until next time.